just a lot of times maybe a reminder to some of us the significance of it, and maybe a young Christian here that doesn't have as much understanding of it, then maybe perhaps enlighten them with something. But I also don't want to preach, because we want to get right to the most serious part of it, and that's observing the supper itself. And so in Matthew chapter 26, we're going to begin and read in verse 26. And it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when he had sung a hymn, they went out into the mount of Olives." This, as you know, is the account of really the most well-known meal in history. It's Jesus sharing in the Passover meal with his disciples. And this particular observation of the Passover meal had much more significant meaning to it than a typical Passover meal, simply because from that point forward, it would be symbolic of something that's much deeper, which we observe tonight. It's symbolic, of course, of the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for the sins of mankind. And so it's we don't observe the Passover. We're observing the Lord's Supper. But the two kind of go hand in hand. And so I want to now ask you to go ahead and turn to our other text in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And there we will pick up where the Apostle Paul just kind of gives us our instruction regarding that particular meal and the ordinance that's involved with it. Okay, we've been 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. Paul says, "For I received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that drinketh, eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." We'll stop there, and we'll get right to the taking of the bread and the wine in just a moment. But let me just comment about, because we do have what we'd call unleavened bread, and we do have fruit of the vine, which is grape juice. And when Jesus spoke of the cup and the blood, when we read both these texts, he speaks of the cup, the blood, and the bread. When he spoke of the cup being his blood, and when he spoke of the bread being his body or his broken body, of course, he's speaking, as he often did, symbolically. Actually, throughout history, a lot of confusion over that. There are groups that have the idea that somehow a supernatural occurrence takes place when we partake of the supper, and just a spiritual process that turns the actual fruit of the vine into the blood of Christ and the actual bread into the body of Christ. It's a deal called what is man calls transubstantiation, and there's no merit to it. It's nothing could be further from the truth. There's no literal transformation takes place of the bread and the fruit of the vine. The bread is not the flesh, and the vine is not the blood of Christ, but yet they are symbolic of it, okay? They're symbolic of it, and that's what we have to understand. There are two other occasions, well, actually more than two other occasions when Jesus spoke symbolically about a particular object in order to illustrate his purpose and who he is. He says he was the door. Aaron, go back, or we got a kid coming in the back. Here, would you go check and see what's going on back there? Okay. Excuse me. He said in John chapter 10 that he was the door, you know, the text. But if he says, any man enter in through me, well, obviously he's not a literal door, okay? In John chapter 15, he calls himself the vine. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Well, obviously we know he's not a literal vine, okay? So we have to understand that this is all symbolic. Jesus was not speaking literally when he partook of the Passover meal, nor was the Apostle Paul speaking literally when he repeated our instructions for partaking of the Lord's Supper ourselves. And so we should not in any way mystify this. In some way, take the occasion and make it more than it actually is. And I'm really kind of fearful, I've said something about this before, that we kind of lean towards that or add to that tendency because we are so silent when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And being silent is okay? We do that, I think, probably the significance of it, the seriousness of it, but don't let that in some way lean towards mystifying this, okay? That fruit of the vine is probably the brand Welch's, if I was guessing, that she buys, okay? And it was put together in a factory somewhere. And the unleavened bread, as significant as the symbol is, that unleavened bread is just a piece of unleavened bread, okay? So let's be really cautious about, in our silence and our coming together for this occasion, to somehow get some mystifying ideas, okay? It's not literal. It's all figurative, okay? But on the other side of that, we don't want to take away or devalue it in any way and do it flippantly. We don't want to somehow let it lose its meaning, okay? So it just takes a balance. The main thing that we want to accomplish each time we come together is recognize the significance and of this meal. And in a nutshell, the significance is this: the bread and the wine symbolize what Jesus did for us on the cross. Walk away from here with that, then you nailed it, okay? And so did I. And that's what's most important. So with that being said, we want to take just a moment, and that text that we read in 1 Corinthians 11 talks about us examining ourselves, of us not partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. And so let me just throw out there to especially some of our young people that might be here, to partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily would be, for one thing, to not be a Christian. You wouldn't want to partake of this tonight. You just want to pass, okay? If you're not a born-again Christian that's followed through and been obedient in baptism, then abstain from this. The other thing would be as if we're in rebellion to God in some way. You know, we're not being obedient. We're not listening to him. He's trying, you know, we're in rebellion. Well, then just step back from this tonight. Nobody's going to be paying attention to whether you do or don't. That's between you and the Lord. But I would encourage you to step away from this meal until those things would be resolved between you and the Lord. And so it says in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so we always take a few moments here of just silent prayer. The altars are open. You can bow your heart and mind right where you are, and just silent prayer where we go to the Lord and just let God search our hearts, see if there's sin that might be confessed, the disobedience or rebellion that should be repented of, whatever the case is, and examine our own selves between us and God, and then we will begin with the supper, okay? So heads are bowed, eyes closed. We'll take just a few moments here. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord God, tonight to be able to approach you through the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, as Christians, as your children, Lord, to seek you and to call upon your name. And it's such a great privilege to have our sins forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we recognize, Father, that tonight we are a blessed people, and we're honored, Father, to partake of this supper and be reminded of what Jesus did for us, the shed blood upon the cross of Calvary. Be reminded that he took care of a sacrifice that we'll never have to make ourselves, that he took away the penalty for our sins. And Father, we rejoice in your church and in your people being here and being faithful tonight. What a crowd, Lord, that come together because they love you. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that you'll have your way in our service tonight, that you would move amongst us, help us to feel your presence. And Holy Spirit, we're thankful for the teaching that you give us. And Lord, as we read these two accounts, the one in Matthew 26 and 1 Corinthians 11, Lord, we recognize that you place those, Holy Spirit, you put those, you inspired those writings that we would have them today to learn and reflect on this particular supper. And so let us, as we partake of it, do it honorably, but let us also do it in a way that clear-minded, recognizing the significance of it, Father. And we just ask, God, that you'll bless those that are hurting. We think of the Reeder family. We love Donnie. Oh, God, you just gave us such a great privilege for 20 years now to have Donnie in our midst. And we're going to miss him. But, God, we also rejoice in the fact that he's with you. And, Lord, it's exciting to think of Donnie living a victorious physical, spiritual life with you. No limitations whatsoever ever again. And Father, I pray your blessings over the Reeder family. I pray for Jerry Chaney, Lord, there in the hospital. I'm grateful, God, that Viviana's got to come home. Lord, there are just an endless amount of things that I could mention to you. But the task at hand, Lord God, is to partake of this supper. Let us do so in a way that's worthy, in a way that's pleasing, in a way, Lord God, that will honor you and what your Son Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. We pray all of this in his name. Amen. All right, if you will, fellas, I've asked four fellas to come help us here. If y'all come, don't allow some of these younger men to participate this time. I'm excited about that. Landon and Landon and Travis, these young fellas are participating in part of this with us. Okay? And so we'll let you fellas go past. Thank you.
bread, excuse me, the bread is symbolic of Christ's broken body upon the cross. I'm going to ask Brother Jerry to lead us in a word of prayer before we take it. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. The juice is symbolic of Christ's shed blood upon the cross. Brother Bryce is going to lead us in a word of prayer.
Lord God, I just pray unto you today, dear Lord, to thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done for us, God. And dear Lord God, I just pray that as we partake of this, dear Lord, I just pray that we'll just remember what your Son did for us on the cross, dear Lord, how he died, God, and even though that we didn't deserve it, dear Lord. And I just pray that we will remember that today and the significance of this, dear Lord. And I just ask all these things.
Verse 25 says, and after the same manner also they took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Scripture tells us in Matthew 26 and verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So Brother David's going to come, and he's going to lead us in a hymn. And you can, if you would like, just set those little cups right on the floor underneath your chair, and then we'll get those picked up in just a few moments. And with Brother David.
All right, would you stand with us, please? As always, if you would join hands next to those that are next to you, stretch out across the aisle. Oh, how I love Jesus. Here we go. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Would you join me in a word of prayer, please? Lord, we love you tonight, and God, we're so grateful and thankful that you love us and that you care for us. And God, you tell us in your word that you loved us so much that you came to this old sin-cursed, wicked world. And you lived here as a mortal man, but yet without sin. And you went to an old rugged cross, the very individuals that you created, the very wood that you created, you hung on that cross for us. And God, today I pray that we would never forget that. And I pray that during this Christmas season that we would take time to meditate upon the price that was paid for us so that we could have freedom in Christ, so that we could be saved, so that we could have our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that we could become a child of the King. And Lord, I pray that during this Christmas season, if we have family members that we know that has never truly been born again, Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage. I pray that you'd give us the boldness in a very loving and a compassionate and a very kind way. And I pray that you'd give opportunity that we might sit down with our loved ones and just make sure they've accepted you as Lord and Savior. God, we're so grateful for a church family that we have, how they love, how we love each other, how they love their pastor, how they love me. And God, I just pray that in this next week that you just bless each family that's represented here. Now, God, I pray that as we go out, I pray that you do a mighty work amongst us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.